welcome you this morning to our worship service here in Toronto, Canada. We're thankful that you can join us for this hour of worship. We're going to begin our service with number 423 in our hymnal, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Let's sing to the Lord's praise today. Well, as we come to pray, seek the Lord this morning, we have mixed feelings today because we learned early this morning the sad news of the departure of our brother Sam McAnally. Our brother has been a faithful servant of the Lord for many, many years. A very strong and faithful supporter of the work of God here in our congregation in Toronto. And we sorely miss our dear brother in the Lord. And we want to give our sincerest condolences to David and Lorraine and to Jonathan, Sarah, Rebecca, and of course all the extended family members. These are difficult times. Sam had been battling cancer for quite some time, and he had gone through more radiation treatment recently to try to control the tumor, but it really took his toll on him. And I was thankful by the Lord's good grace to be able to see our brother this past Monday. And we had fellowship, we read the Word of God and prayed. And it was a blessing for my own heart and soul, and I thank God for that. Do remember, please, to pray for the family as they now must make the plans during this difficult time. It's the end of an era in many ways. Whenever you see a grandfather, a father, one of a generation pass away, it's not easy at all. And so we would ask you, please, to remember the family today very much in your praying. Let's come to seek the Lord now this morning. Father, we are thankful for a new day that you've given to us and for the return again of the Lord's Day and all the blessings that are attached to this time set aside for worship, set aside, O God, for holy rest and study of the Word, of reading the Scriptures and of just fellowship with our God. Father, we are thankful for the grace that you've given to us to live life for another week. And Father, we pray that your grace would be abounding and abundant in every one of our lives. We know it is, Lord. We've experienced it. We know our sins have been forgiven. We know that we are in Christ. We know that we have hope not just in this world, but we have hope in the world that is to come. Lord, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We know the peace of God that passes all understanding. These things, Lord, are beyond us naturally. They don't come from within our own hearts, Lord. We know, Father, that they have come from your kind and gracious hand and mercy toward us. We are a blessed people. We are thankful, Lord, for every temporal mercy and blessing. So many things we see around us, we cannot possibly, Lord, enumerate these blessings. But we are thankful most of all for the greatest of all mercies and blessings to us, and that is Christ Jesus, our Lord. For he has given himself an offering and a sacrifice for our sins. Father, we know that he shed his own precious blood that we might be forgiven, saved, redeemed, brought into the family and fold of our God. And so, blessed Savior, today we lift our thanksgiving and our praise for all that you've done for us on Calvary's cross. Help us, we pray, to rejoice today with joy that is overflowing, that we might understand the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So fill our hearts today, we pray, with that praise. Father, we are mindful this morning as our hearts are mixed with sadness in the loss of our dear brother, Sam. And we ask, Father, for your comfort to be near to the family. Lord, it's never an easy thing when you're going through this and it personally touches and affects your own home, your own family, your own loved ones. So I pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon every family member. Not just the older ones who have been on the road for a long time, but remember the children. Remember the grandchildren. Remember them, Lord, as they loved a dear grandfather. And I pray, Father, that they would understand and know that he is absent from his frail body. And now he is present with the Lord in glory. And what great hope and prospect that we have. And I pray that every one of the family that are outside of Christ, that they would come to see that this is their final end before too long. And they must be right in their own heart and ready to meet the Savior. Our Lord, remember others in our fellowship who are sick. We pray for Mrs. Sushila today, taken to the hospital suddenly. Lord, comfort her, be with her at this time. We remember Thelma Watson, and pray for her today, Lord, in this hour of her weakness. Bless her and John as well. Remember others who are sick. We ask for Henry and Kathy. Keep your hand upon them, Lord. Other seniors and members who may not be sick per se, but they are elderly, needing your support and touch. We pray for those who are somewhat disabled and not so steady on their feet as once they were. Lord, keep them from falling, I pray. Bless them. Watch over them. Hedge them round about. And Lord, today I'm asking that we might enter in with joy and thanksgiving. And the Word of God will be written on every heart. And that, Lord, you would break through in salvation to those we have long prayed for within the family. Unite family circles, we pray. Lord, grant to us a gracious reviving of our own souls, a drawing nearer to the Savior, opening our hearts more fully to your perfect will in our lives, that we might walk circumspectly in the Spirit, not as fools, but as wise. Pour out, Lord, we ask, great understanding and wisdom upon all of us. So hear our prayers today. Remember our land. Remember our leaders. We are commanded, Father, to pray and to support those who are placed in political and social authority over us. And our prayer would ever be, Lord, to give them great wisdom and understanding. And again, we ask, Father, to keep them from evil intentions and agenda and ways, and keep them on the right path for the protection and honor of your people. Lord, hear our prayer. Restrain the devil, we ask. Restrain the wicked one and every emissary of the devil that is bent on evil things. Lord, hold them back, we pray. Prosper thy work and thy people. Hear our prayers now today. Lift up our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' worthy and holy name. Amen. Let's please sing again to the Lord's praise, Psalm 32b. Turn, please, now in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews, chapter 9. We're going to read from verse 11 to the end of this chapter. The opening verses, well, they are dealing with the illustration of the tabernacle in the Old Testament and how appropriate that is for a type and a shadow, looking forward to the coming Messiah, and how Christ fulfilled all of those Old Testament types, and He is presented to us as our great Redeemer. Verse 11, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And that last phrase, when Christ will appear without sin, the idea is not that he had any sin, there was no sin in him, but he would be appearing the second time without coming for the purpose of making atonement for sin. He would come the second time in victory and glory and great power to bring his redeemed people home to heaven to be with him forevermore. May God write his word upon your hearts today and bless His word to us. Believer, think long and think often upon the theme of eternal redemption. It doesn't really matter what kind of a bad day you're having. It might be a day when the world seems to, the bottom has fallen out and everything is kicked out from underneath you. Just come back to this truth. You have eternal redemption. You will never be cast into hell, never be lost. If you believe in Christ today, if you know Him as your Savior, then rejoice with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It is a joy that God gives to His redeemed people today. Welcome to our morning service. I'm very glad that you're here with us today, either in person, in just a very small group, or else online. Those of you who are viewing our service locally in Toronto, in the regions around, or maybe from a distance, you're very, very welcome. And we pray that God would bless you richly. Let me ask you to remember in prayer, just got word of Mrs. Sushila, who was taken into the hospital urgently today. And remember in prayer, please also remember Thelma Watson. Thelma is very, very low. She also was taken into the hospital this week very suddenly. And they really said there's nothing more that they can do for her. Her heart was very, very low and weak, and she decided, no, I just want to go back home again to be with my family, and the Lord will take me in His time then. So do remember the family of our sister Thelma. John, of course, is very elderly, but he's still ticking along and doing fairly well, though suffering from a little bit of, still problems. And do remember also their son Richard Watson as well. We have several others on our prayer list. We want to constantly remember them and hold them up before the Lord. Regarding the passing of our brother Sam, we don't have the funeral details yet, but we will be sending out a notice to the congregation as soon as we have those. Of course, with these times of restriction for any kind of gathering, it's really going to mean the family members only that we'll be able to attend. But the services, both graveside and also the service here in the church, will be webcast, and so you'll be able to join in and support the family in that way. Please remember the bulletin announcements. If you get the bulletin online, you'll be able to follow those. And remembering our prayer time this afternoon at 5:50. Also, please remember our evening service at 6:30 tonight, and then Wednesday our Bible study and prayer time, 7:30 via Zoom. Ladies, don't forget, please, the Bible study for the women on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Note that time, 7 p.m. And then it's encouraging also because the ladies from the western part of Canada have also been recently joining in. And it's encouraging to know that those in Cloverdale and some in Victoria and also Prince George and the surrounding area have been joining in, and that's been a real blessing. And so we encourage you to pray for that ministry of the ladies. Those are all the ministry announcements we have today. Others will be able to share with you later tonight. We're going to sing again to the Lord's praise now, number 612. I will not forget Thee, a great promise that God has given to His people. Thank you. Returning, please, for our Bible reading this morning for the message to Isaiah 44. Isaiah chapter 44. Read verses 1 to 8, and then moving down to verse 21. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon a dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who is I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, no rock. I know not any. Verse 21. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant. O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. We know the Lord will bless his word to our hearts today. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, we now have the Word open. And we have read both in Hebrews, here in Isaiah, and we long, Father, for the Spirit's help to understand the Word. Please take away every distraction. Please take away, Lord, those things that would crowd into a sacred hour. Give me strength, Lord, to speak the Word of God faithfully and plainly. May I know the anointing of the Spirit of God. Answer our prayers, Lord, and the prayers of everyone in this fellowship, for the pulpit, for the preaching of the Word of God, that it will go forward to every heart. Lord, take and apply the Scripture to our souls. We need thee, Lord. We need to have our ears opened We need, Father, for direction to be given. And I pray that we will rejoice today in the great truth that we have to think about from this word. Bless us now. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Verse 21 and 22 of Isaiah 40. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou hast not, will not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. That would be the title of our message this morning. The theme of redemption. It runs through the entire Bible. It is the message of God to a fallen world. It is the hope that the Lord gives to those who are hopeless and helpless. It is the light that shines into a darkened heart of sinners. And it is the true and lasting peace. It produces that we can have peace with God and also have peace with men. Redemption is a word. It speaks freedom to the captive. The payment of a great debt to those who are poverty stricken and who could not pay if they were given 10,000 lives to pay back the debt that we owe to God because of our sin. My friends, redemption is a glorious truth that is found in the Scriptures, and it comes to a troubled heart. And what does it produce? Why, it gives for us assurance of salvation. It gives for us the hope that when all else around us seems to be quite despairing, to dwell upon the redemption that we have been given by the Lord, it is an amazing truth. And it so is on the opposite of the bogus type of freedom or redemption that the world, the flesh, and the devil promises. For that type of redemption, well, it centers around sinful pleasure. It centers around the accumulation of things. It focuses on fame or fortune or just getting a little something more to be like the next person, and then you will have satisfaction. Then you will know your soul delivered and redeemed. But the problem is that no matter how long and far a sinful heart goes into possession of things or trying to attain this redemption of spirit and heart, it's never obtained, because it cannot be. Because there's only one thing that can answer that problem. It's nothing temporal. It is only the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of free and sovereign and saving grace. It's the only answer to the weary, sin-burdened heart. This redemption is found only in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only hope you have. He is the only hope that any one of us have. I ask you today, friend, do you have this precious gift of God's redemption? Have you been redeemed? We were singing that today. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. This is the blessing that we have, and this is the theme of the entire Bible, that God has redeemed to himself a people. As we come to Isaiah chapter 44, the context is Israel is now in the captivity of Babylon. These are precious reassurances that God has not forgotten his people and that his mercy will yet be extended to them. Last Lord's Day morning, we were hovering over verse 3. What a precious promise it is that God will revive and refresh his people. He will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon a dry ground. And every one of us say, Lord, I am thirsty for your blessing. Every child of the king says, yes, Lord, I acknowledge the ground of my heart is dry and I long for spiritual refreshment. We're all in that place at some time or another. And the promise of God to pour out his mighty blessing upon our children, our offspring, this is the great word that God had blessed his people with. Because don't forget, when they were in captivity, they did not have freedom. They did not have their own place. They did not have all of the opportunities of worshiping God as once they did, and they were dry and parched. But the Lord did not leave them there. And he said, you are my servants. He addressed them by the name of Jacob and of Israel and of Jeshurun. And all friends, today we are servants of the Most High God, redeemed by his own precious blood. We were taken from our sinful ways, and we were brought under the canopy, the umbrella of God's sovereign grace and mercy. The context of the chapter from verses 9 to 20, the Lord points out to Israel again the foolishness and the folly of idolatry. Speaking about a person who goes into the forest and cuts down a tree and they cut it up into bits and put it under the stove in order to cook their food. And whatever's left over from the stump of the tree that they cut down, they carve it up and then they set it up and then they fall down and worship it. And the Lord is pointing out how foolish, how silly, how dark, how depraved is the human heart that would reject their Creator, the living God, and rather turn to idols. But that was the very sin of Israel. That is why they had gone into captivity. And the Lord let them be there for 70 years. And now Israel, they would be released from captivity. And they would be sent back to their land. And God gave them many precious promises when they were in captivity. He would restore them to their land. He would restore them to the temple and to their worship. He would raise up men like Cyrus, the king of Persia, an ungodly man, but he would be the aid of God's people. And he would make this ungodly king open up great doors and supply all the materials for them to rebuild. And he would send men like Nehemiah and Ezra. And they would have the restoration of the land once again. And God fulfilled those promises to his people, to national Israel. But friends, do not miss the message that God is speaking here of his redemptive work to spiritual Israel, to every one of his elect chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and that includes you and me today. If we are in the Savior, we belong to him. We are his. God, who is rich in mercy toward his people, and the rich blessing. And what does God tell us that he will do for his own chosen. Well, in verse 21 and 22 of our chapter, he says, speaking about his servants, speaking about those who belong to him, he said, "Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." I want you to notice, please, in the first place today, our sins forever erased. Our sins forever erased. God is speaking. And he said, "I have blotted out thy transgressions and thy sins." And the word blotted out, it means to wipe out, to obliterate, to exterminate. And of course, we know well what the word transgression means: a treachery, rebellion, missing the mark of God's holiness and the keeping of his law perfectly. And all of us, every single man, woman, and child born of Adam's race, we have all been born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we have all sinned against the Lord. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have a problem, and a very big problem. We need to be forgiven of sin. We need to be washed from our sins. We need to have our sins blotted out and taken away. And God is promising here toward his people, and he is telling them, "I have blotted out." And it indicates this, friend, when we think about having to eradicate something, having to erase it, well, it means that it's written down somewhere. You realize that? That your sins, my sins, they're written down. But the question would come to your mind, well, where are they written down? Well, I turn it around for you and ask you this question: where are they not written down? They're written everywhere. Because our sin has stained every walk and step of our life. Everything we have touched, every person we have interacted with has come in contact with our sinfulness and our wicked nature. Yes, friends, they are recorded everywhere. They're recorded and written down in our character. They're written down in who we are and what makes us tick. What makes us in our humanness, our spirit, our soul, our wills, our minds, everything that makes us up as being a human being has been touched with sin. And so, yes, our sin is written in our minds, and we know that well. It's written down in our hearts and our wills. We can hardly take a step to do something without that being tainted because of our sin. It's written down in the circumstances of our life. As we go to this place or that place, or have interaction with this person and that person, how many times do we think, "Lord, please erase that from the mind of that person, because they're going to be tainted because of my sinful behavior and the circumstances of my life that I have done and gone to. Lord, people are contaminated." And yes, we have to sadly acknowledge before the Lord of the circumstances that have affected other people. Have we sinned against those in our own family, against people? Yes, husbands, have you sinned against your wife? Wives, have you sinned against your husbands? Children, have you disobeyed parents? Parents, have you grieved the hearts of your children? Yes, we have affected people in the home, our neighbors in the workplace. Literally everything that we have touched. But above all this, our sin has been recorded in the mind of God. And He knows every thought. He knows every deed. He knows everything that we have said or thought. And God comes to you, friend, today, believer, and He says, I have blotted out your transgressions. I have blotted out your iniquities. You notice in verse 22, there is this phrase, He is blotted out as a thick cloud, thy transgressions. It's interesting, you know, when we look in the Bible, there are phrases that are used. Sometimes they can have a good application, and sometimes they can have a bad application. We look in the Bible and we see the word fire, and fire is the judgment of God. But fire also purifies the people of God. We think about water. Water is used for peace, trouble. Water is also used, as we have here, in the clouds, that God says He blots out our transgressions as a thick cloud. God speaks here of our sin as a dark cloud. You have also been in a situation, I'm sure, where you are out enjoying a day's activity and you did not bring your umbrella, and perhaps you're in a situation where, well, you would wish you had not been in that situation, as you see the clouds have become dark over you. But not just dark, ominous dark, black clouds, swirling with different colors of grays and darkness. And you realize you're in great danger, because there is not just a serious thunder cloud overhead, but this is something of a precursor to tornado, great devastation, destruction, and even death. And those who have lived through these times, they have very, very horrific details to speak of. And clouds and darkness and the thunder that is contained in it, these things, they obstruct the sun from shining. And it's just like sin, you know. Sin over top of us, it speaks really of judgment. It speaks of that which is going to eliminate us. And it hides from us the face of God. It hides from us the Son of Righteousness. It looms over. And when we think about this, it only speaks of eternal destruction. I want you to consider, friend, that today, especially if you are outside of Christ, if you don't know Him, your sins are like a thick cloud, like a thunder cloud, but worse than that, far worse than that, a cloud of ultimately bringing the judgment of God upon your head. And you're not redeemed today. You're not forgiven. You have not known the redemption of God's grace. And these things are very fearful over you. So is your sin. It's hanging over top of you, friend. And there's no escape from it yourself. And your sin has hidden the face of God from you. Our sins have separated between us and the Lord. And yes, the sun is still shining above the clouds, but we cannot see it. In our sin, it's only darkness and foreboding. Matthew Henry said, "Our transgressions and our sins are as a cloud, a thick cloud. They interpose between heaven and earth, and for a time suspend and intercept the correspondence between the upper and the lower world. For sin separates between us and God. They threaten a storm, a deluge of wrath." Listen to what John Gill said. "Sins and transgressions are compared to clouds. For the number of them, clouds are vapors rising up of the earth and the sea. And they rise up, they rise out of the earthly and corrupt heart of man, which is a troubled sea. Like the clouds, they reach up to the heavens. And the cry of them calls aloud for vengeance. They cause darkness. They intercept the light of God's countenance, and they cause Him to hide His face from them. But God graciously forgives them," which is meant by this blotting out. There is no power on earth, you know, that can dispel clouds in a natural sense. Man would try to do that, would love to be able to control the weather if he could. But no force that man has is able to do this. And I can tell you that there is no power of man to be able to dissipate the clouds of sin over your heart. Yet men will try. They try by their own good works. They try by their own benevolence. They try by church membership. They try by all kinds of things to dissipate the cloud of sin, but it cannot be done. It is an impossibility. It is only by the supernatural work of a loving and a merciful God that can blot out our transgressions, that can forgive and take away our sins. And how will God do such a thing? Will He do it by just an arbitrary act and say, "Your sins are all forgiven, carry on"? Will He make some sort of a bold declaration and just say, "Your sins are forgiven"? No, friend. 1,000 times no. This is not what God does when He blots out our transgressions and our sins. For it cost Him dearly. It cost our God to send His only begotten Son into the world, that He would die in my place, and that He would shed His blood to make atonement for my sin and to blot out my transgressions by the atonement of Christ Himself. That is the only answer for my sin. It is the only answer today, friend, for you. You cannot and dare not stand before God without having your sins blotted out by Him. And this is a glorious promise that He gives to us. "I have blotted out your transgressions that were over you like a thick cloud." And how and why does God do this? He does it, friend, today because of His great mercy. He does it today for us because of His great grace. He does it today not that we are worthy of it, but only because of His great love for us. David said in Psalm 32 that we sang earlier, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." I ask you today, friend, do you know the Lord? Are you forgiven of your sin? Have you been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ Jesus? God has made a promise, and the promise is that our sins are forever erased. Would you receive the Lord today? Would you trust in Him as your Savior? Would you say, Lord Jesus, please come in to my heart and my life? I need to be forgiven. I need salvation today. We notice, friend, in the second place today through this text, that we are never forgotten by the Lord. The last phrase of verse 21, he said, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Now, when we read that verse of Scripture, we might say, well, of course, how could God ever forget? Last Lord's Day evening, we were focusing on this great truth that we will never be forsaken by the Lord. And we will never be forsaken by the Lord, and we will never be forgotten. Sometimes the devil would tempt us, and he would tempt us to make us think, you know, God has really left you out of it. You're going through very hard times right now. You're going through very deep trials. You're going through some times that cannot be understood. They can't be rationalized. You can't make head nor tail of them. You know what? God has forgotten about you. And that's the lie of the devil, and he whispers that into our ears. But here is a glorious truth of God, the God of heaven. He condescends down and he has to say to us, my child, I have not forgotten about you. What a glorious truth. Can you take that to your heart today? Because we are the servants of the Most High God. He addresses himself to Jacob the twister, to Israel the prince, to Jeshurun, the word that means straight or righteous. And God, who has lifted us out from the pit of our sin in our twisted deformity, what has he done? He has made us kings and priests unto God. He has untwisted our corrupt life, and he has made us straight. How has he done this? Because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been imputed to my account. God has straightened me out. God has put me on the straight path. And oh yes, I know we are still in the human nature. We are still wrestling through these matters. And God's work of sanctification is at work in us. But we are His servants today. Not just servants. We are His children. We are His priests and His king. One commentator wrote, we are not made servants by serving. We are made servants that we may serve. Yes, that is true. God has made us His servants. He has given to us sonship, and we are His children. And therefore, we are enabled and given the privilege to serve Him. And God has promised us that He will never forsake us, and He will never forget us, because we belong to Him and we are called to serve Him. And again, the devil would whisper into our ears, God is not worth giving up your whole life to. Look at all the pleasures you could have enjoyed and could enjoy in this world. Look at all you could have. The Apostle Paul, who was very poor in this world's goods, but he was very rich toward his Savior and his Lord. And he was able to say, I have all things and I abound, even though I have nothing of this world's goods. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he had nothing. He was a poor man when it would come to earthly things. He owned neither house, nor horse, nor mule. He did not have corporations, but He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And yes, the Lord has promised that He will not forget us as His children. Yes, we've been brought into the family of God. We have received the adoption of sons. We'll never be forgotten of our Lord. It's impossible for us to be removed from the mind of the Lord. And His promises are so precious and so real. And He reiterates that to His people, to all of us, over and over again through the Scriptures. If you look back at verse 25 of Isaiah 43, listen to what the Lord says. Even I am He that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. The Lord reiterates over and over and over again to His people. In the book of Nahum, the Lord says in Nahum chapter 7 and verse 18, listen to these words. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. For thou hast cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. Another illustration that speaks about how far away, how much the Lord has obliterated and blotted out our transgressions, because we are His servants, His sons, His children. And we will never be forsaken by the Lord. Here's a strange thing. The Lord uses this illustration in Isaiah 49 about a woman having borne a child, and who is feeding that child with the milk of her own body. And the Lord said, can such a woman forget her child? And the Lord says, she may forget. It's almost an impossibility, humanly speaking, of a right-thinking woman, a mother who has given birth to a child of her own body. She will die for that child. The Lord said, could she forget? There is a very slim possibility she could forget under unusual circumstances. But the Lord said, but I will not forget you. You are mine. What does this promise mean to us, friend, today? It means that God will never ever cease to love or to think of His servants. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Lord said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It is beyond our comprehension that God can think of all His people at once. And yet He does, and really thinks of us all as just one, individually. It's impossible for the Lord to forget any one of us. We are redeemed, and we are written upon the heart of Christ. And we have been written on His heart from before the foundation of the world. We are inscribed upon the very palms of His hands. We are written by the ink of His own precious blood that He shed for us. We have cost Him much to be forgiven, and He will never, ever, ever forget us. We have a place reserved in glory forever, and it cannot be occupied by anyone else but you, believer. The wicked, you know, they will cast off their servants when they have outlived their usefulness. This is the illustration given to us of the Amalekite, the Old Testament, days of David. The Amalekite servant became sick, and the Amalekite just left him to die in the desert, moved on. I'll just get another one. And David found this man. Strangely enough, he had lasted over 3 days, and he had survived somehow, and David rescued him. David took him into his own camp, gave him food and water, protected him, preserved him. And David, the greater David, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the one who has found us discarded by the devil as just being garbage and of no use. And the Lord has rescued us and taken us to Himself. And our Lord, we have help, security, safety, healing, forgiveness, and eternal home. And the Lord will never leave us. He will never forsake us, friend. Do you have that hope and that peace today? I wonder, friend, if you have drifted away from God in your life. You know Him. He's your Savior. You trusted Him many years ago. But today, you are far off from the Lord. Today, you have backslidden away and you're cold, ice cold in your soul. And the Lord is saying to you today, I have not forgotten you. I have redeemed you. You are my child, and I love you with an everlasting love. Will you not return to me, the Lord is saying today? What keeps you away? The world? Your love for things in the world? What keeps you away from serving God with all your heart and soul and mind? For your life is clicking away day by day, moment by moment, so quickly. You don't know when the day of your appointed death will be. How will you stand before the King of Kings with nothing to give to Him but just the ashes of a burnt out life? No, friend. Come back to the Lord. He is saying today, return unto me. You will find that when you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. Please have mercy upon me. Please wash away all my transgressions and sin. You know what the Lord's going to say to you? He'll say, I have blotted out your transgressions. Return unto me that you might have your fellowship restored. That you might have again and know that close, that walk with Christ, that reviving of water upon a thirsty soul and floods upon the dry ground of your heart. Yes, backslider, today God is married to you and He's calling you back to Himself. What makes you delay? Delay no longer. There is no good reason. But there is every good reason to flee back to Him. I pray that today you would return unto the Lord. You know, backsliding has so many different degrees to it, doesn't it? It may be that you've just become a little cold in heart. Well, it's time to say, Lord, don't let me drift away. Draw me quickly back to yourself again. So whether it's a little bit or a large amount of wandering, come to the Lord. Set your life before Him and say, Lord, I want to live for You out and out every day. I don't want my life to be consumed by other things that do not count for eternity. I want to lay up in heaven gold, silver, precious stone, all those things that illustrate usefulness and honor unto your King. And friend, if you are not a believer today, I exhort you to flee to Christ while you have breath and time. For it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let's bow in prayer. Father, today we pray that your grace and mercy and the effectual calling of the Lord would work deeply in the hearts of unsaved. And I pray, Lord, that whoever it might be applicable to this word who is backslidden away, O God, draw them back, Lord, I ask. Let us all keep very short accounts with you. Let us all know that precious reviving of soul and spirit. Father, make use of us in our time, in our generation, for the days are clicking by so quickly. It's only what is done for Christ that will last. Father, let that be our understanding every day. Hear our prayers. Bless us on this your day. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.